thank you again for tuning in. It's so good to have you. Welcome to The Harvest. This is our weekly broadcast that we do, and we're excited about being able to share what God is doing all across the world. Really, He's moving. He's expanding His kingdom throughout the world. And today we have with us a wonderful couple who loves the Lord and has been called to missions. And, you know, some people are called to the othermost parts of the earth. And when we think about that, that means like to, you know, China or something. But good grief, sometimes you're called right around the corner, and sometimes you're called maybe to just other parts of your country. And that's what's happened with this couple that we have here today. They've been called to the Native American Indian population in Montana, Big Sky Country. And I want to welcome today to our broadcast, Richard and Hope Stewart. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. It's so great to be with you. We've been really excited about this opportunity to join you.
Well, we're excited to have you. We're so thankful that God has allowed us to partner together in ministry. We're praying for you. We support you. We try to, you know, I know there's teams that are coming out to minister and help you with building projects and what have you, but tell us what's going on in Montana. What's happening in the Native American culture that's there, and just kind of tell us what God's doing right there in your neck of the woods.
Alrighty. Well, we've been out here now for almost 29 years, and we originally were in South Carolina. I was a youth pastor in Somerville, and God just kind of intersected our life and spoke to us specifically with a call to missions. And as we began to explore that, He opened up the doors for us in Montana and gave us a real burden. So to make a lifetime story kind of into a nutshell, we applied to become U.S. missionaries and specifically moved out to the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in northwestern Montana and planted a church there, spent about 11 years there planting a church in the community of Browning, which is the tribal headquarters for the Blackfeet nation there. And it was quite amazing, interesting journey. We learned a lot, you know, trying to figure out what missions looks like in a different culture. I had grown up in missions myself in South America. My parents were missionaries, but that's a whole nother world from Native American country up in Montana. So we started the church in a funeral home, and we're in there for about in the funeral home for about 6 months. I didn't think it was a good idea, but it's the only building we could find.
Yeah, people are just dying to go there, right?
We've heard all of those.
I'm sure you have.
But, you know, God was faithful, and over a period of 10 years, we saw the church planted, and a couple in the church, Burton and Helen Butterfly and their family, felt the call to full-time ministry, and over a period of about 3 years, we co-pastored together, and then he and his family became the pastors as we worked ourselves out of that position and focused on some of the other things that we're doing now in Native ministry here.
Well, let me ask you this. You said something about the Native American culture. What's the difference in the Native American culture that's, say, from what we would call the American culture of, you know, the European American culture or whatever you want to call it? What's the difference? What sort of contrast, obstacles, what sort of issues have you dealt with, or did you deal with it first?
Yeah, well, that's probably a 5-hour conversation that would have, everybody would have a different opinion, but maybe the easiest way I could explain it is, you know, in our American kind of a Western culture, we build relationships and we put people in boxes based on like what they do. You know, like if I was to have a conversation with you and I first meet you, I'd probably say, hey, well, what do you do for a living, or something to that effect. And, you know, in Native culture, it's not based around what you do. Your relationships culturally are based on who you are. So if I was to start that similar conversation with somebody, say, in Browning or in Rocky Boy, one of the first questions that would come up in our conversation is, who's your parents, or who's your family? Mm-hmm. And we put people in boxes based on who their family are. That's the identity of a culture, is based around family and not around, you know, the type of work that you do or however we would identify people.
Was that an obstacle for you, or just something that was kind of interesting?
At first, it was an obstacle because we were outsiders. So, I mean, not only were we, are we white, but we were from the South, which is a whole different culture in itself. And so it was very different, just because we didn't have any connections. We didn't know anybody in town. You know, when we moved there, we had absolutely no connections to the community at all.
Sure. I guess so. It took some time for them to, for you guys to develop some trust, and that we're not here for, you know, wrong motives. We're here to love, and we're normal people and all that. So it took some time. I would imagine they eventually embraced you. I mean, obviously you've been there 29 years, so things seem like they're going in a good direction. What are some other obstacles that maybe were like ministry obstacles where you felt like, you know, boy, I'm really having a hard time sharing Christ here? Was there anything like that?
Well, Indian religion is pretty strong, you know, on the reservations. And so, which involves a lot of witchcraft type things and stuff like that. So they're very familiar with the spirit world. And so really had to have your armor on all the time, you know, because that was not something that we dealt with a lot as youth pastors.
And so, you know, I guess we've seen movies and stuff where these Indians are kind of doing that, you know, and they're dancing around the campfire and they're kind of dancing and all that. So is that the kind of idea you're talking about, or is that a typecasting of that?
That's more of their powwow type things, and they still do have those things. But calling up grandfather spirits, you know, smudging sweat lodges, you know, different things like that. The sun dance is something that they still practice on the reservation, which is worship of the sun.
Okay.
You know, they do a lot of praying over rags and cloths and tie them in trees to pray to certain, you know, spirit of the bear, spirit of the wolf, and type, you know, that type of thing.
So to them, that's just normal. That's just normal. That's their normal religion. They see nothing wrong with that, right?
Well, you know, it's kind of like in the American culture, you can't just stereotype everybody into one group.
Sure.
There are some people that are very, very strongly tied to native religion, and others that have maybe a Catholic background, and others that would have a Protestant background. And so you have a blending. But I think one of the greatest challenges that we face is just the stronghold of the enemy that seems to keep the fabric of the culture just disjointed. There's a lot of dysfunction within the families. Many children would not be raised by their parents, but by their grandparents or their aunts or their uncles. Then from generation to generation, you have a certain amount of brokenness that comes a lot of times with that, that, you know, it affects every part of society. So it affects, you know, commitment in the church. It affects attendance in school. It affects, you know, the economy. All of those things then become, it's all one big challenge. But at the core of it is that, you know, the enemy is committed to seeking any way to destroy everything around him. And Christ has come that we could have life and have it to its full. And so it's that challenge of saying, okay, Lord, lead us by your spirit, speak life to where there's the enemy is scheming for destruction, and watching that take place sometimes is not an overnight occurrence, as you know, in any ministry, but sometimes, especially in a culture that moves slowly and isn't as quick responding as others, we see that as a challenge not to become discouraged when you have to use a different measuring stick for success.
Yeah, and so you guys, I love what you're saying here, because you always want to meet people at their point of need, and the only way to be able to know that is what that need is. And so you're able to identify that culture to say, for example, there's broken families, and there's that sort of family dynamic that's just all disjointed and problems that are there, and it creates the dysfunction of maybe alcohol abuse and other sort of things that are going on, you know, abuses of different kinds, and just a disconnect. But you're able to bring Christ into that situation right there where they are, and cause their lives to be turned around once they receive that good news, you know, that hope and that purpose in their lives. I was wondering, in the 29 years that you guys have been there, does one or two stories kind of stick out as significant to you of Let me tell you something about what God did in this person's life. Can you share that for just a few moments?
Yeah, well, I think that's actually a great lead into what we're currently involved with now, which we have been involved with since the beginning, and that's the Ministry of Indian Youth Camp, which is a camp for Native American teenagers and children. Mm. And the heart and soul of the camp is to provide an opportunity for Native American young people from the seven Indian reservations from around the state to encounter Jesus Christ in a life-changing way. And that is one of the most remarkable experiences that that I've ever been exposed to. To watch 200 to 300 kids come into camp, coming from their local churches or local communities where they have some connection to camp, and come to camp, many of them never even having heard the gospel before, and watching what happens when Jesus just shows up. Mm-hmm. And I remember during 1 week of camp, I think it was about the middle of the week, this one young teenage boy, just really hard, and I'd almost sent him home a couple of times. He busted open the door jamb of his dorm room. We were going to have to pay for that. And yet the camp is for kids. It's not just a church camp. It's an evangelistic camp. And about in the middle of the week, I was walking over to the tabernacle, and I saw him break away from his little group of buddies. And as he came over to meet me, it was going to be by the door of the tabernacle. And just as I got to the door, he came up to me and said, Hey, Pastor Richard, how do I do that thing? And I looked at him and I said, you know, I'm not sure I know what you're even asking me. Did you know? He said, how do I do that thing where I get my sins forgiven? And it just touched my heart, you know, to think what must have been going on in his life that having heard the message in the first couple of days of camp, something deep within him longed for that connection of what God was offering, you know, and he offers that to all of us, doesn't that? That burden of sin. Would you be free from your burden of sin?
Yeah.
I said, you want to give your life to Jesus? He said, yeah. Hmm. I said, well, let's step inside and just talk about that for a minute. And so we went inside, and there was nobody in the tabernacle at that time, and just he and I down by the altar in the dim light. And I explained to him what it really means to commit your life to Jesus Christ. And when I was done, I said, is that still what you want to do? And he said, oh, yes. Hmm. I said, well, I can lead you in a simple prayer of commitment. And if you would say that from your heart, he said, God will hear you. And so I led him in this prayer of repentance. And he surprised me because he didn't mumble and he didn't act shy. You know, he just spoke it strong, and I could just see the sincerity, you know, in his voice and his praying. And when we got done, I looked up and he raised his head and he looked at me. And then, you know, as if he had known me all of his life, he just reached out and he just grabbed me and he hugged me, you know.
I love it.
You know, and from that day on, he wasn't the same. I mean, he was completely different. And that's the power of encountering Jesus, where I could never maybe get anywhere explaining to somebody why they need to believe the gospel and not some other thing that they believe. Jesus can wipe all of those complications away in one encounter with him, because his love is so compelling and his invitation is so strong that God, who made us in his image, has a way of connecting with us. And we just know this is what I need. This is where I belong. This is life. Yeah. And I mean, I could just tell you story after story after story of lives that I have seen impacted by the power of the gospel. It's just, it's the gospel. It works.
Boy, you know, we can get so sucked up into so many different things in our life that are not, that don't have any eternal value. And as I hear that story, I'm just reminded, the Holy Spirit just speaks to me and says, be careful to not focus on the peripheral. I'll take care of the rest. If you'll walk in obedience, if you'll plant water, I'll bring the increase. If you'll focus on the harvest, if you'll focus on going into all the world and preaching the gospel, if you'll just do my purposes, if you'll just expand my kingdom, if you'll let your primary purposes be about me and my kingdom, I'll take care of the rest of this stuff. Seek first God's kingdom, his righteousness. All these other things are going to be added unto you. I just am reminded when I hear stories about this, like you just shared, where, you know, I just want to say, oh God, I want that to happen through me all the time. Just use me for your glory. What a great story that is. As you guys are sharing here, I want to ask you, I was just thinking, how many people, how many Native Americans are we talking about up there? Is it just a few hundred? It sounds like it might be in the thousands. Can you help me out here?
I think the latest census is there's about 60,000 Native American people in Montana, and they are represented by 11 primary tribes. There's actually been another one or two that have been recognized as well. So there's seven designated reservations that the 11 tribes are located where they live.
So this is just not a small group we're talking about here. I think that we put this into perspective. That helps us to put it in a perspective to say, okay, there's 60,000 people. I mean, honestly, and not to be naive or anything, but I didn't realize that there were 60,000 people that lived in all of Montana. You know what I'm saying? Just from where I am. I know there's more than that, but to think there's 60,000 Native Americans that live in Montana that potentially none of them know about Jesus, or the vast majority of them don't. I don't know. What do you think? What's the percentage of people that are serving the Lord out of those 60,000?
Well, you know, the people have done surveys, and so you really never know.
Yeah.
You know, they say less than 3% of the Native American population of the United States is saved.
So we can extrapolate that by saying that roughly about 1,800 people, maybe of those 60,000, might be serving Jesus out of those. Does that sound about accurate?
I think it's probably more than that. I mean, okay. The gospel has been there, but there is a tremendous need for the gospel. There is even more than I could begin to describe in what I said earlier with the challenges that come from the brokenness of family. People just need Jesus, and so much of what we do at IYC at Indian Youth Camp is twofold. You know, camp itself is about introducing kids to Jesus. Okay, this is who he is. This, come know him. Come experience what it means to encounter Jesus Christ in a life-changing way. But then beyond that, we all know that something has to happen after the week. And that is really, to me, the great challenge that we face. But yet, as I get older, I'm more and more convinced that this area of, I know it's a worn out word, discipleship, but to me, what all discipleship is, you know, first of all, there's evangelism. That is, we want people to meet Jesus.
Sure.
But Jesus is saying, I have so much more to offer you than just meeting me. Come know me. Come walk with me. Come experience life with me. And we are beginning to see God just do some incredible things, watching the unfolding of the discipleship arm of ministry.
Wow.
As over a period of time, it took forever, but God prepared the way. And now the soil is ready for discipleship. Right now, as we're speaking, you know, there's a couple from South Carolina that live down in Irmo. And then there's some, there's a couple up on the Blackfeet Reservation. And then there's another young youth pastor lady over in Fort Belknap and scattered, and some over on the Flathead Reservation. And they're a team that has come together, and they are, as we speak, creating a discipleship devotional that's specifically designed for Indian Youth Camp students. This year, they're going to have that introduced to them, but it's not going to be just a devotional. It's going to be somebody standing up there saying, this is part of my contribution. This is the story of my life that I pulled into this. And many of those that are writing that devotional were kids that grew up in Indian Youth Camp.
Yeah.
And so that devotional, I mean, that discipleship side of things is what I'm so excited about. We're doing tours now across the different reservations with a multi-ethnic team that we travel and just share testimonies and worship God and invite kids to come into the altar. It's not big time. I mean, it's raw and it's challenging. But God is doing a great thing. You
know? Well, that's what discipleship is. A lot of times, it's raw and challenging. It's not easy. That's why. And see, I feel like the Holy Spirit is just telling me something here about folks that are watching this broadcast, and maybe we can even speak to them. Maybe you guys can maybe speak into this in just a moment. But I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, Okay, so like when I was younger, when I was, and I've grown up in church, but they had, we had Sunday school then. We had what they called, it was really discipleship classes. It was, you know, as a child and as adults that we had the Sunday school classes, we had opportunities to grow in our understanding of what God's word said about his relationship with Jesus Christ, all of those sort of things. It's a foundational, foundational exercise that we had every week, and it was the same faithful teachers, the same faithful people that showed up to teach and to disciple. And I really feel like that the church, where we are now, is losing that. We're very much in this place as a church, as the body of Christ, to where most of us want to just come and be fed all the time, but very few are willing to step up and to give and to disciple and to teach and to pass on that. I just want to challenge some of the folks that are here today. What can you speak into their lives to say, listen, God has got something for you to share, for you to impart, for you to pass on. And it's time for us to maybe step up and to step in to those leadership roles of an ongoing commitment in discipleship and to pour in what God's word is in us and that relationship and all that into their lives. What would you say to people that maybe are feeling that tug and saying, man, I feel like I might need to step in there and get back in the game?
Yeah. You know, the word missions, a lot of it depends on how you define missions. But if you say missions is reaching people that are yet unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, in that sense, we're all given an opportunity to be engaged in missions. Sure. And that's not just through what I do for a missionary, but it's where God calls me. And I mean, the old saying, bloom where you're planted, is so relevant to this life that God's called us to, the assignment that God gives us. I mean, God is hoping and dreaming all kinds of things for our lives. I mean, it's with purpose that he's called us. And so first of all, no matter where I'm at, if I, you know, if I'm in Rock Hill or if I'm in Montana or Africa, God is going to intersect my life specifically for the assignments that he has preordained. And in that place, today, it's not like we get to go door to door. And I used to love to do that. Go to the door, knock on somebody's door. You don't get to do that very much. The culture doesn't allow that. But, you know, God is not any more than he was limited by COVID. He's not limited by the culture shifts either.
That's right.
And how we do that, first of all, is as we just walk with God, there is always opportunities that God gives us in those conversations and relationships that we have to reach people for Christ. And that will happen sometimes because I'm serving as a Sunday school teacher or I'm serving in the local church because that's where the need is.
Sure.
And that is missions. That is just as much as the story you hear from Charles Greenaway or somebody that sees the supernatural power of God come into this tribal setting or something like that, that was just very miraculous.
Wow.
It's the same miracle that takes place if that person comes to know Jesus because mm-hmm. you gave their child a ride to school or because you loved them in their time of need, you know, and you mowed the neighbor's lawn and you did it in the name of Jesus. The power of the Spirit of God is just as strong there
sure.
as whenever there's a miracle taking place.
Yeah, you know, missions is not just telling someone about Jesus, but missions is, like you said, it's the nitty-gritty, daily, weekly. It's hard, it gets messy. Discipleship. As pastor, I know pastoring, it's hard because you sometimes have to go in there and kind of pick up the mess. You know, you have to help people along and they'll mess up 100 times on the same thing. You think, how much more do we have to talk about this and go around the barn on this thing? But discipleship, you know, it's important. We've got to pour into people's lives and realize that as we plant water, God's going to bring the increase. And we all have something to give and to share. For the kingdom. We're going to start landing this plane here in just a few moments. We're going to have to wrap this up, but I want to ask you all if you would be willing to lead us in prayer and pray for people, however the Lord lays it on your heart. But I feel like the Lord is saying in this broadcast that there's something about discipleship that we need to focus on here. And maybe there's some people that have something to give, and maybe they don't want to go door to door. Maybe that intimidates them walking on the street and handing out tracts, but they can teach a Sunday school class. They can lead a small group. They can do something to get in there on a weekly basis and say, I've got the time, I've got the experience, and I really have the desire, but maybe I've got a fear, or maybe I'm just kind of lazy right now, and I'm retired. Let someone else do it. But discipleship, I believe, is so important for us to not just have a saving knowledge of Jesus and experience with him, but an ongoing, growing relationship with him. I would love for you to lead the folks that are viewing here today in prayer to that end, and let's just encourage people to discipleship. Would you mind leading us in prayer to that end?
Oh, that'd be great. Lord, all of our lives, they're made up, Lord, of many moments that before we know it, it's turned into a lifetime. And I think about how deeply the things that you have called us to in Montana have been impacted by other people that have just followed the leading of your Spirit, men and women of God that were just disciples. They were just sensitive leading of your Holy Spirit. They wrote letters to us when we needed an encouraging word. They supported the finances when, had it not been for that, we would have gone under. Times, Lord Jesus, when teams have come and served. And as much as we see the fruit here in Montana, Lord, there's a harvest right there in Rock Hill.
Yes.
Around every corner, in every neighborhood, inside the four walls of the church and outside, Lord, a world that just needs to know you. Lord, I pray for this community of believers that you have raised up, a church that has a passion for seeing the community around them, not just know them as a church, or not even just to come and be a part of this group, but to know you, Lord, to experience an encounter with you that changes everything. And I pray, Lord, that your hand would rest so strongly, that you'd bring a new passion and a specific direction and calling upon this gathering of your people in Rock Hill. Mm-hmm. Lord, that through the ministry here of faith, that there would be life after life after life that is engaged in the work of your kingdom, that's making an eternal difference, Lord, that changes everything. Lord, I pray that your strong blessings, Lord Jesus, would rest upon your people now as they continue to serve you and blossom and become all that you have dreamed for them to be, in Jesus' name. We thank you for their faithful partnership with us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lord, I pray for Richard and for Hope. Lord, as we all just reach our hands out to the screen that we're watching, and I just pray, God, that you would watch over this precious couple and all the workers, folks that they have as volunteers and co-workers there in their field of ministry in Montana. Lord, we pray for a revival to break out among the Native Americans that they're ministering to. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ be so powerfully presented, and let the Holy Spirit have his way in moving in these camps and these church gatherings and these small groups, in these tribes, these meetings, these neighborhoods, these communities, all the different people that are there that Richard and Hope are able to reach out to. Holy Spirit, give them favor. Holy Spirit, watch over them. Give them open doors, Lord God. Provide for their needs. Anoint them, empower them, equip them. Bring workers in, Lord God, to support them and encourage them. Provide for them, Lord God, in every possible way so that they can be fruitful and impactful and fulfill your purposes for their lives in this field in Montana. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We pray a blessing over this ministry, and we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, Richard and Hope, we thank you so much for joining us today. There's going to be a link to some information to be able to reach out to you here, right? Actually, right below us right now as we're speaking. If you want to click on that link, you can contact and be out, connect with Richard and Hope in whatever way. Find out more about whatever's going on there in Montana with the Native American ministry that they have there. Ways you can partner with them, reach out in prayer, maybe go out there and visit and be part of some missions opportunity there as well. But I want to encourage you to continue to pray for them as you go from this broadcast. And please share this broadcast with someone else that you feel like might want to hear it and might be encouraged about it. And don't forget, the Lord has a calling for you. He has an assignment for you. And it could be in the area of discipleship. There's a whole lot that is in you that the Lord would love to be able to extract and use for His kingdom if you would just simply make yourself available and let it out. So find out what that is you can do in your local church. And you may be watching here from wherever you are in the United States. Somewhere, wherever you are, there's discipleship that's needed. So ask the Lord to help you to know what that is and to get out there in obedience and then just do it. Get in there, roll up your sleeves. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be messy. It's going to be frustrating. Oh, but it's going to be so rewarding if you'll just do it for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Well, Richard and Hope, God bless you guys. Thank you for joining us again. And thank you all for tuning in with us today on The Harvest. And we'll see you next time.